Good evening. We're thankful for this day that God has blessed us with, and I'm thankful for this blessing to be with you tonight as we gather together to worship God and to learn more from His Word. I'm appreciative of the opportunity to be with you this week. I'm enjoying my time here in this meeting immensely. Prayerfully, these things are being profitable to you as we have been studying together. I encourage you to take out your Bible and follow along with me this evening in those things which I have to present from God's Word. In those Bibles, go ahead and turn over to Psalm 142. Psalm 142. Things we have to discuss this evening are things which prayerfully will encourage us and help us to draw nearer to God and be more what He would have us to be in this life. You know, there has probably been a time for most of us that we felt like David did in Psalm 142 and in verse 4 when he said this, "Look on my right hand and see, for there is no one who acknowledges me. Refuge has failed me. No one cares for my soul." Have you ever found yourself in this life feeling like no one cares? Feeling like you're going through a difficult time and there's no one who sees, and even if they see, they don't care about the things that you're going through, a feeling of being alone and being isolated and being in pain. That's essentially what David describes here, and perhaps you felt that way before. But I appreciate as we read on in verse 5 that even having stated that no one cares for my soul, he comes then in verse 5 to say that indeed there is someone who cares. When he said, "I cried out to you, O Lord, I said, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living." You see, David recognized, as you and I must, that those times when we think that there's no one who cares, there is indeed one who always cares, and that is God. But for a few moments this evening, I want to consider that idea of who cares. And as we think about that, come to the realization that it's true that indeed God cares. We want to note some people and some things that God cares about when it comes to you and to me. As we think about the fact that God cares tonight, I want you to note in the first place with me that God cares for all men. God's care for all men upon the face of the earth is evident in a number of ways. We're going to note some of those together. The first thing I want you to note is that God's care for all men is evident even in man's creation. After God had created all the things upon the face of the earth, then He comes in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, it's recorded, that He formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. You see, His crowning creation, the one which He put the most love and care into, was the creation of man. And so even from God lovingly creating man, we see God's care for mankind. Not only did God create man, but also God shows His care for all men in that He sustains man's life. It's even as Peter said, or Paul rather, in Acts chapter 17 and verse 28, Acts 17 and verse 28, he said, "For in Him, that is in God, we live and we move and have our very being." You see, we wouldn't have air to breathe, we wouldn't have a heart to beat, we wouldn't have life to live if it wasn't for the care of God. And God's care in sustaining life is seen for all mankind. God's care for all man is further seen in His providence for man. Over in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 45, that's Matthew 5 and verse 45. Jesus said that God sends His rain on the just and the unjust and causes the sun to rise upon them as well. Then in James chapter 1 and verse 17, James said that every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. The sunshine that we enjoyed today shows that God cares for you and me. But you know, that didn't just shine on the righteous people, did it? No, it shines on everyone. We see in that God's care for all men in every place, in His providence of good things that we enjoy in this life. Further, as we move to think about spiritual things, God's care for all men is seen in His concern about all men's souls. It's seen in His pity and His compassion. I appreciate the words of Jonah, chapter 4 and verse 11. In Jonah chapter 4 and verse 11, God is speaking to Jonah concerning that city of Nineveh. Though their wickedness was so great, they're willing to repent. But he says of them, he said, "And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city, in which there are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and much livestock?" You see, God had compassion and pity even upon those who were going in ways that were against His way, who refused to walk, at least for a time, in righteousness before Him. God's care for all men is seen also in the sending of His Son. It's been called sometimes the golden text of the Bible. John chapter 3 and verse 16 we read, "For God so loved the world," that's all men everywhere, "that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." In Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 we find, "And this was the love of God made manifest, made known, that He sent His Son, and He sent to die." Paul goes on to say, "Well, you and I were sinners." You see, God cares for all men so very much that He was willing to send His very best, Jesus, to give His life upon Calvary's cross. And then also God's care for all men is evident in the giving of His Word. Because the Word of God is able to tell us, and it does tell us, what we need to do in this life to prepare ourselves for the life to come. And this Word is available to men who dwell upon this planet. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, you remember Paul said, "All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." You see, the Word of God is profitable, and God gave that to all men that they might know His will, might be able to prepare their souls for eternity. So I want you to understand that everyone that's gathered here in this place this evening is an object, is a subject of God's care. Everyone outside of this building tonight, God cares about them, as all of these facts that we know to attest to. As we think about the care of God, we need to understand that God cares for all men. We want to move on from that point as we think about the care of God to understand also that God cares especially for His people. Though God cares for all men in every place, as we've noted, His special care is upon those who are His people, those who follow Him, those who do His will. And that, by the way, has always been a quality of God. If you go back to Deuteronomy chapter 7, and note there with me verse 9. Back in Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 9, notice the words that we read there. Moses said, "Therefore know that the Lord your God, He is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations." With who? He said, "With those who love Him and keep His commandments." God has always set His special favor upon those who are His people. Those who love Him, those who obey Him, those who keep His commandments. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1, there the apostle of love wrote these words. He said, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God." You see, a special measure of God's love has been given to those who are His children, even in the fact that they are able to be called the children of God. But you see, God cares especially for His people, for His children. And with that special care of God for His children come special blessings. Notice with me over in Romans chapter 8, the words of the Apostle Paul beginning in verse 14. Romans chapter 8 and verse 14, Paul wrote, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." Notice this, "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified with Him." You see, as those who are finding the special favor of God as His children, those who have been baptized into Christ, according to Galatians 3, verses 26, God, we stand to inherit the eternal joys of heaven. And surely, if you're among the people of God, you must understand that God cares for you in indeed a special way. Even back in the prophets, they spoke about the care that God would have for His people, even in this dispensation as Christians. Look over at Zechariah chapter 9. In Zechariah chapter 9, I want you to notice with me verses 16 and 17. Zechariah chapter 9, beginning in verse 16, we read, "The Lord their God will save them in that day as a flock of His people. For they shall be like the jewels of a crown, like a banner lifted over His land. For how great is His goodness and how great its beauty. Grain shall make the young men thrive and new wine the young women." But notice, in speaking of God's people today under the king, which was prophesied in the verses preceding that, it says that these people will be like a crowns, like the jewels rather, in the crown. You see, something to be favored, something beautiful in the sight of God. And that's describing the people of God. And let me tell you that if you're not one of God's children, if you're not among the people of God this evening, you need to consider where you stand and what you're missing out on, because God's special care and His love is shown towards those who are His people. But in the third place, consider the fact that God cares. We want to note that God cares when you are hurting. You know, perhaps as we thought about Psalm 142 and verse 4 earlier, when David said, "No one cares for my soul," maybe those are the times when we feel like maybe even God doesn't care. When we're going through some suffering, some kind of heartache, some kind of disappointment, we feel alone, we feel sad, and we think no one cares. But I assure you, the Bible teaches us that God cares when you're hurting. God cares when you are suffering. Let me show you a couple of Old Testament examples of that. First, look over at 2 Kings chapter 20 and verse 5. 2 Kings chapter 20 and verse 5, just to kind of set up what we're reading there for you, I want you to understand that Isaiah was sent to King Hezekiah, and he was told, Hezekiah was, by the prophet, that he would die, he would not live, and he needed to set his house in order. Now, you know, you may go to a doctor here upon this earth, and the doctor may say, "You have 6 months to live," and you know, you might live for another 3, another 6, another 15 years after that said. But when a prophet of God brings the word of God to you and he says you're going to die and you will not live, guess what's going to happen? You're going to die. But Hezekiah, after he heard those words, he went to prayer. As he wept in that prayer, God stops Isaiah even before he left the courtyard, and he sends him back to King Hezekiah. And he bears these words to him, the words of God. And in 2 Kings 20 and verse 5, Isaiah was told, "Return and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of David your father." Notice this. God says, "I have heard your prayers. I have seen your tears. Surely I will heal you. On the third day you shall go up to the house of the Lord." You know, it's always impressed me about that verse. When God said, "I have heard your prayer," but then he goes on to say, "I have seen your tears." Let me ask you, is there anyone among us who has never cried tears in private? I want you to understand that there's not a tear that falls from your eye that God does not see. God sees every tear that falls from your eye. God sees it when you're suffering. God sees it when you're hurting. Over in Psalm 56 as well, we can see this with David. In Psalm 56 in verse 8, David wrote these words in speaking to God. He said, "You number my wanderings." Notice this. "You put my tears into your bottle." He said, "Are they not in your book?" The idea is that God kept a record and even kept the tears that fell, that God knew the sadness that was felt, the tears that were shed, the heartache that was experienced. And we need to understand that even as God cared when Hezekiah was hurting, even as He cared when David was hurting, God cares when you and I, as His people, are hurting today. I want you to look over at a New Testament thought concerning this idea in Mark chapter 4. In Mark chapter 4, notice with me there verses 37 through 40. Mark chapter 4. Verses 37 through 40. Probably familiar with these events that we read about here. Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 37, we read, "A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, that is Jesus, asleep on a pillow. And they," that's the disciples, "awoke him and said to him, 'Teacher,'" notice their words, "'they said, do you not care that we are perishing?' Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was great calm. But he said to them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? I want to make a couple of points from this. Here they are in this ship, and Jesus is asleep. Well, the storm is coming. The boat is filling. I was talking to somebody about this a little bit earlier tonight. I've been in a situation, not in the way they were, where there was certain danger of drowning, they thought at least, with the water coming into the boat. But I've been in a boat that sunk before. And I know what it's like to be sitting in a boat when water begins to fill that boat up. It's not a comfortable feeling. But here they are in the midst of the storm, tossed about, and water begins to come into the boat, and Jesus is just there asleep, and they go wake him up, and they say, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? They said, We're going to die. And Jesus rises up. He, of course, calms the storm, but notice what he said. He said, Why is it that you have no faith? Here's my point, that we need to recognize that God cares when you're hurting, and don't doubt Him in the midst of suffering. And then you're hurt and think that He doesn't care. I think some people fall into this category, this trap. What they begin to think is well, God's strong, but God's not helping, so God must not care. Or God is strong and He doesn't care. Or on the other hand, they think, well, God cares, but He's not strong enough to help. And we need not fall into either one of those traps. What we need to understand is when they were hurting or when we're suffering or when we're afraid, we need to understand that God cares and we need to have trust. We need to have faith, even as the disciples needed to have faith in that situation. You see, the Bible implores us to cast our cares upon the Lord. Over in Psalm 34 in verse 15, Psalm 34 in verse 15, we read, The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are open to their prayers. That is, He's ready to hear about the cares and the concerns and the heartaches that you have. And then 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, it says, Casting all your cares upon Him. Here's the reason why. For He cares for you. You see, the Lord cares about us, and He invites us to cast our cares upon Him. But know for sure, if you're among His people particularly, God cares when you are hurting. But in the fourth place, as we think about the idea that God cares, I want you to understand that God cares what you do. You know, I think sometimes people begin to think that out of all the billions of people that live upon the earth, does God really care what I do? The Bible tells us that surely God does care what you and I do. In fact, He's always watching. Over in Proverbs chapter 14 in verse, or 15 rather, in verse 3. Proverbs 15 in verse 3. Notice what we read there. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are open to their cry. The eyes of the Lord are rather in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. The eyes of the Lord are everywhere. He sees everything that is done that is evil, and He sees everything done that is good. God cares then what you do. God even cares what you think. Over in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13. In Hebrews 4 and verse 13, a sobering fact is presented by the apostle. When through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he said, And no creature is hidden from His sight, but all things are naked in the open in the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. God knows everything about us. He knows every thought that we have. He knows every word that we speak. He knows every action that we perform. That shows us that God cares what we do. He sees the evil that we commit, and He also sees our good works as well. Even as we know it in Mark chapter 9 and verse 41, Jesus said, For whoever gives a cup of water to drink in My name because you belong to Christ, assuredly, I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. That means that God cares about your good actions. He takes note of them and He'll reward you for them in the end. You see, God cares what you do. So don't think that you can blend in with the crowd of humanity and somehow or another the things that you think and you say and you do go unnoticed by God. Because God cares about you to the point that He cares what you do and He knows whether those things are good or evil. And that brings us to our last point this evening, as we think about the fact that God cares. And that is, we need to note that God cares where you spend eternity. God cares where you are eternally after this life is over. Over in 2 Peter chapter 3 in verse 9, you see this principle expressed by the Apostle Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. When Peter wrote, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." You see, God cares where you spend eternity. God doesn't want anyone to perish. God doesn't want anyone to be lost. He wants people to turn to Him in obedience that they might be saved. Over in Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 11, you can see this has always been God's attitude. Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 11, when in the context God speaks about the wickedness of the wicked and how that will bring about their destruction, and then the righteousness of the righteous and how that will bring about their favor in His sight. But He comes in Ezekiel 33 and in verse 11 to speak to those who are doing evil. And He said, "Say to them, as I live, says the Lord," notice this, "I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live." And then He implores, "Turn, turn from your evil ways. For why should you die, O house of Israel?" You see, God pleads with man that they would turn from those ways which are wrong, and they would do those things which are right, because God cares where you spend eternity. Paul expressed it this way in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. In 1 Timothy 2, 3 and 4, Paul said, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior," notice this, "who desires all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth." God cares where you spend your eternity. God's desire is that all men would know the truth, would obey it, that all men would find the salvation of their souls. And we need to appreciate this, and we need to understand that God cares where I spend eternity. And recognizing that being the case, we need to then do those things that we might find that eternal life, which God invites us to partake of. Notice over in Revelation 22 and verse 17, the invitation. Revelation 22 and verse 17, we read, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him who thirsts say, Come. And let him who hears say, Come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely." You see, the Lord invites that women would come and drink of the waters of life and find the salvation of their soul. Because God doesn't want anyone to spend eternity in hell. Instead, God cares enough that He wants all men to be saved. So the next time you start thinking, who really cares? Who cares about me? Who cares what I'm going through? You can answer by saying, "I know that God cares." Because we've understood this evening that God cares for all men, no matter who they may be, saint, sinner, those who are young, those who are old, God cares for all men in every place, as is evident in so many ways. But God's special care is reserved for His people. And you need to be among the people of God that you might be the object and subject of God's special care. God cares when you are hurting, when you cry in private. Understand that God sees and He cares about what you're going through. And then cast all your cares upon Him that He might be able to comfort and succor you in those times of need. God cares what you do in this life, so much so that He takes note of everything that you think, of everything that you say, and of everything that you do. And God cares where you spend eternity. God wants you to be with Him eternally in heaven. He wants no one to be eternally in the place of torment, the place of hell. But as we bring this lesson to the close, let me ask you, what do you think this care that God shows should motivate you to do? Well, the Apostle Paul answers that question over in Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. In Romans chapter 2 and verse 4, Paul says, "Or do you despise the riches of His goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering?" He's talking about the care of God in those things. He said, "Not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance." When you see God's care and you see how good God has been to you, that should cause you to desire to obey Him, to turn away from those things which are wrong in this life, to walk in the ways and in the paths that are right before Him. If you have not yet responded in that way to God's goodness, God's care, you do that even this. God's plan, initial plan for your salvation is so very simple. You need to hear the word. You're hearing it right now. You need to hear that Jesus came, that He died and shed His blood upon the cross of Calvary that your sins might be washed away. And though He was laid in the grave, 3 days later He arose, a victor over death, never to die again. And a short time after that, He ascended to His Father in heaven, where even now He is seated at the right hand of the throne of glory, and He reigns as King of kings and Lord of lords. And you need to believe in Him with all of your heart, which is what the hearing's intended to do, Romans 10 and verse 17. Once you've heard and you believe, you need to repent of your sins. All men everywhere are commanded to do so. Paul declared in Acts 17 and verse 30. And once you've heard and believed and repented of your sins, you need to make the good confession of your faith, even as the Ethiopian did in Acts chapter 8, that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And upon that good confession, you need to be buried with Christ in the waters of baptism, that your sins might be washed away, that you might become a child of God, Acts 22:16, Galatians 3, verses 26 and 27, that you might rise up out of those waters to walk in newness of life, Romans 6, verses 3 through 6, that you might be a Christian with hope of an eternity in heaven. If you haven't done those things, we plead with you to do them this evening. But let me also say this, that if you've done those things,